The cyclone season in the South Pacific, which came to an end on Tuesday this week, finished with less cyclones than what was forecast. The El Niño weather pattern was supposed to result in a high number of cyclones in the Pacific. However, there were only 7, 2 less than the long-term average. Meteorologist Ben Noll with New Zealand's National Institute of Water and Atmospheric Research told Caleb Fotheringham this El Niño episode was unusual, both on a global and regional scale.
Some of the things that were experienced in terms of weather and climate in the Pacific Islands may not have matched what those islands would have historically expected or experienced in some of those bigger El Niño events in the past. So typically what we've seen in the past is a higher number of cyclone count in the region, tropical cyclones, and the long-term average is about 9. And this year, there's been in the South Pacific, there's been about 7. And then there's been 2 more in the Gulf of Carpentaria, which is on the far kind of western fringe of the region. So overall, it was kind of a season that featured near normal to even slightly below normal amounts of cyclone activity, which definitely went against the grain of some of those past El Niño events. And recently, I was at in Fiji at the Pacific Islands Climate Outlook Forum. It's an outlook and a look back where some of the regional partners like NIWA and the Bureau of Meteorology and NOAA get together to work with the Met Services on what has happened in terms of recent weather and what is likely to happen looking ahead. And I can say that a lot of the Met Services, it seems like, experienced on a national level impacts from this El Niño event that, you know, may have been a little bit out of kilter with what they've experienced during El Niños in the past. So, I definitely think this El Niño we experienced is kind of cut from a different cloth. And, part of the role, I guess, of a meteorologist or someone in climate scientists is to kind of dissect that and understand, you know, why.
I remember at the start of the cyclone season, actually before, we had that huge cyclone in October, and that seemed quite unusual. Was that aligned with El Niño?
Yeah, and what was interesting is that the early kind of portion of the wet season in the Pacific Islands probably was most aligned with El Niño, so that kind of September through maybe December timeframe. And it isn't totally out of the ordinary to actually get some early cyclone season activity in the Pacific Islands during El Niño events, but this, you know, past year kind of took it to a whole new level where we had the first 3 tropical cyclones to form were all severe tropical cyclones. We had the earliest Cat 5, you know, tropical cyclone on record in October. So there were definitely signs that things were going to be, off to the races, and it was going to be quite a marathon in terms of cyclone season. But then we hit the new year, and there were some unique characteristics, I think, in both the ocean and atmosphere that really prevented the El Niño from really taking off and producing more and more tropical cyclones.
Another thing with El Niño that was expected was some very dry weather in certain countries. Did we see that?
Yeah, so the El Niño certainly did produce some dryness and drought. And in fact, we did run a bit of a survey at the aforementioned Climate Outlook Forum in the Pacific just last week. And drought was actually one of the highlighted words that the Met Services kind of brought up quite a bit. So indeed, there were some countries that experienced dryness and drought. I think parts of Micronesia in particular experienced drought. But there were then some countries that were anticipating perhaps a higher level of dryness or drought where that didn't end up necessarily eventuating. So there were, certainly some negative impacts as well. Along the equator, we had flooding issues around Kiribati, and some of the equatorial groups that are really close to the equator experiencing high levels of rainfall, flooding. There were a couple of storm surge events as well, and that could be tied to some of the higher sea levels that were experienced during El Niño. So I don't think drought was as profound and widespread as what we've seen in the past. I think that's probably the overarching statement there.
And Kiribati, they were actually expecting rain, so they kind of got what they were expecting, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, right along the equator, I would say the impacts were pretty consistent with an El Niño, and that was above normal rainfall, some higher sea levels. So the likes of Tuvalu, for example, they had some really heavy rainfall early in the year. And that, again, yeah, that was tied to El Niño. So, you know, what you probably would have seen is that while there are some negatives there around some heavy rainfall and flooding and impacts What those countries did do is probably, alleviate some of the long-term dryness that was associated with the previous three episodes of La Nina. So although, too much rain too fast isn't a good thing, a lot of those countries did see some relief as well. And I guess they're kind of preparing themselves for a possible another La Nina later this year. So that rainfall they would have received probably is important, actually, toward having long-term water availability in some of those islands.
When do you expect El Nino to leave completely?
Yeah, so we're on the tail end of this El Nino event now. Some of the indicators are already suggesting it's over. A few are just hanging on by a thread. But I would say by the end of May, I think at that point, we'll probably be well and truly into what we call ENSO neutral. As we go through the rest of the year, the Pacific is in a state of flux, and the warm water that was once pretty widespread with El Nino, at least at the equator, that is going to be likely replaced by cooler conditions, initially in the eastern Pacific, closer to South America, but maybe by mid to late year, spreading westward and into the central Pacific and affecting parts of northern French Polynesia and Kiribati, as we may go to another La Nina later this year. So right now, I think the Met Services are starting to think about some of the climate patterns that they may experience later in the year should that transition occur.
Is that quite rare, going from triple dip La Nina to El Nino to it's seemingly quite quickly back to La Nina if it happens?
Yeah, if you look back at the kind of historical ENSO record, to have a five-year span where you have three La Nina events, you have an El Nino and a pretty major one at that, and then you follow that up with by another La Nina, you'd be hard-pressed to find, a five-year period where, you had that that sequence. So indeed, it seems like it's been a while since we've been in a neutral phase. And, it does seem like we're flipping from one end of the extreme to the other. And the behavior of some of these ENSO events is also just a little bit out of the norm, I'd say. And I'd say this is probably connected in some way to changing climate and redistribution of heat across the Pacific. And that's then manifesting in basically different weather patterns because of some of those changes. So, yeah, we're in an interesting, I guess, phase in the Pacific here, where we're flipping between ENSO. We're also seeing really, really warm seas across the region. A lot of the Met Services in the Pacific were commenting how hot it's been, even for the Pacific, a hot place. You expect the islands to be really warm, but even for their standards, being, excessively warm and humid on the tail of this El Nino event. And that does look to continue as we look ahead. So more warm temperatures to come, despite kind of moving toward potentially a colder phase of ENSO in La Nina later this year.